Welcome. It's good to see all of you. We had a number of people chatting. Julie's on her way back from California. Dr. John went to see his brother on the east coast of Florida. See, who else is missing? We got more missing. I can't remember.
Nicholas.
Who's not here?
Nicholas.
Oh, Carlene is visiting in Virginia. Nicholas is in Uruguay. And I guess everybody else is here? Good. It's glad to have you here. It was a great time for celebration on the Feast of the Nativity with a great turnout and wonderful food. In case I forget at the end of liturgy, be sure to take some of the poinsettias home with you. They're still going to be good for a while and adorn your house. Try to imagine a man so given to power that he would do anything to preserve it, including ordering the murder of little children. So jealous of that power was Herod that without shame and without fear, he ordered such a horrible act as we hear read today. Tomorrow, in fact, is the commemoration of the slaughter of the innocents. We would be repulsed at meeting such a man, let alone let him have authority. Herod didn't stop at the slaughter of the innocents. During his life, he would order the murder of the chief priests and scribes of the Jews, his own sister, her husband, his wife, her name was Miriam, three of his own sons, and 70 members of the Sanhedrin. The estimated number of the children that were slaughtered is not a certain number. We sometimes see speculations of lower numbers, but the church, by tradition, and tomorrow commemorates the slaughter of the 14,000 holy innocents. Because it wasn't just Bethlehem, but it says, and in the environs, the area about. Yet this number really is minuscule compared to the over 50 million children who've perished in their mother's womb in this country. I mean, we are shocked when we hear the reading of today's gospel. That probably represents maybe 4 days worth of abortion slaughter of the innocents in America. We may be on the verge, however, of even greater carnage. We're on the verge of having the so-called Freedom of Choice Act made into law, FOCA. President-elect Barack Obama, speaking to the Planned Parenthood Action Fund on July 17, 2007, said this: "The first thing I do as president is sign the Freedom of Choice Act. That's the first thing that I do." What is the primary thrust of FOCA, or the Freedom of Choice Act? It's to reinstate partial birth abortion. And you know how that's done. It's a partial delivery of the child, then using scissors, the brain is destroyed, and then the child is delivered dead. This law would strike down and effectively outlaw any restriction on abortion. It would eliminate parental notification laws in those states where such has been enacted. Healthcare providers, including physicians and nurses, would be required to participate in abortions regardless of their religious beliefs. This would effectively preclude Orthodox Christians from entering or remaining in many medical fields. The prohibition against using federal tax money to pay for abortions that's now in effect would be repealed by this act. And it's, you go online, you can see who's sponsoring this. I was looking at just a few names, and the numbers that were Catholic, supposedly. And the numbers whose prior experience, you know, when their working experience was in the education field. How could you have stood before a classroom of children and put your name to such a hideous, hideous law? And what can we do about this? First is to let our U.S. representative, whoever he or she may be, as well as our 2 senators, know that we're against this. You can do it by phoning, by writing, or both. All you need to do is go online. You can find their web addresses, you can find their mailing addresses, and you can find their telephone numbers in Congress. Second, it's to be heard in defense of life at all stages, from conception to the natural ending. Abortion is a desecration of God's own creation. Let me read to you from Jeremiah, first chapter, third verse. Thus the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Behold, I formed you in the womb. Behold, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. He knows every single child. They're his creation. And when we abort the child, when we kill it in the womb, we are desecrating and blaspheming against God's own creation. To remain silent when evil is spoken of as good is to condone the evil. Now we speak of it in a loving manner, not in a shrill voice, loving the sinner, but hating the sin. Abortions so many times have two victims, the child and the mother. The guilt that plagues them the rest of their life, for many of them. For others, do you know that 50% of all abortions are performed on women who've had a previous abortion? Even our women are becoming cold of heart. But for the sinner, we love them. For the sin, we have to be heard. And you know, in our country, I saw it with somebody recently about, I think it was about abortion. And I forget what it was. Anyway, I said, you know, we have the Rodney King syndrome. Remember him, the guy that was beat up by the police? And what did he say? Can't we all get along? That's what happens in America. What, yeah, can't we all get along? Isn't it the same? I mean, it's their opinion is abortion's okay. Ours is it isn't. You know, that's their opinion. This is our opinion. What's good for them? So then there are the 10 suggestions, not the 10 commandments. Just however you feel about it makes right and wrong. People can criticize us in the Orthodox Church. You don't have any shades of gray. Everything seems black and white to you people. Yeah, God's usually black and white. He'll tell you what he expects. And he has told us. And we have to be heard. Third, we have to pray and fast. I suggest to you, let us make the Wednesday fast one of prayer and fasting, that God will soften the hearts of those who govern us, that they will see the wickedness and the evil of this horrible law. Let's do that. Let's just take Wednesdays, and when we're fasting and praying, say extra prayers to soften their hearts. And fourth, we have to have perseverance. I'm going to Washington again this year. Okay, we're going. The March for Life is 2 days after the inauguration. Okay? And it's amazing when you go there. The Park Service, of course, is a pawn of the government. And so they give low numbers as to how many are there. Okay, we take some others who do it by, they know how big an area the mall is and how many people. The numbers are even extraordinary. Last year, about 500,000 people were there. And it was exciting to see so many young people. They're a great inspiration. They were cheering and had cheers and full of energy. They actually believe that one day this will all come to pass, that we will save the children in the womb, and this will all be a terrible blot on our history, but our history. And you see that it invigorates you. Young college students, seniors in high school, and they're there giving witness. Last year on the front page of the Washington Times was a big picture. It was a sea of humanity. But there, very visible, was a large banner. It takes four people to hold it up. That's at Orthodox Christians for Life. Orthodox Christians for Life. What a wonderful witness it was. And so we persevere. This is the 36th anniversary of Roe versus Wade. And I look around up there and I say, you know, I may not live to see the victory. But I see the young faces and I say the victory may be theirs. As long as we persevere. Pray that the victory comes before, though, the wrath of God. This is what the Lord says in Genesis. He's speaking to Cain, who, as you know, killed his brother. And God said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he replied, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And thus God said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." With what volume and what clamor must the voice of the blood of 50 million of our own children reach the ears of God? The day of reckoning will come unless this country repents and turns from its evil. We don't want to hear that. You know, there's good people. I think that's what's staying in the hand of God. Because if we read where the Lord was setting out to destroy Sodom, remember when he got into negotiations with, Abraham got into negotiations with God about how many good people had to be in Sodom. And it was a pretty low number before God said he would relent. And I think it's the presence of so many good people in America that has stayed his hand so far. The right to life issues, though, don't even end with abortion. We're on the slippery slope toward killing of the old, the infirm, and those who lack the so-called quality of life. This past election, Washington State joined Oregon as states that now allow so-called physician-assisted suicide. You think about it. As the cost of medical care for the aging baby boomers rise, we will see not just the call for assisted suicide across the country, but government payment for such. Then it will be what I call the Uncle Bill syndrome. The first part is, why can't I take my pill? We already have that, right? And people clamoring, why shouldn't I be able to take a pill and end it all? Then it's, well, Uncle Bill is unconscious, but I know he would want to take his pill. Right here in Pinellas County, the neighboring county, Terry Schiavo. They just starved her to death a couple years ago. And the judge who presided over that and allowed her killing was honored, I'm ashamed to say, by the bar as a wonderful independent jurist. What it was legislation from the bench. And a woman is dead. The next thing will be, why can't you be gracious like Uncle Bill was and take your pill? If somebody can't see the wisdom of ending it because of the lack of quality of life or the hopelessness and being aged, eventually there'll be the law that says what? Give it to them anyway. Put them out of their pain. Death with dignity. We have all the catchwords. Just as the catchwords for abortion were women's choice, the catchword for suicide and ultimately for euthanasia is going to be death with dignity. Life is God's gift. No one has the right to interfere with it. It's a gift from God, sacred from conception to the natural end of life. Let us always choose life, and let us be the voice encouraging others to choose life, remembering God's admonition in Deuteronomy. And this is God speaking in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. See, I set before you today life and death, good and evil. If you hear the commandments of the Lord your God, I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his ordinances and judgments, then ye shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you. I call heaven and earth as witness today. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, and both you and your seed may live, and love the Lord your God, obey his voice, and cling to him. Let us as Orthodox Christians always choose life And let us be vocal in that choice of life. Let us be the witnesses to the truth that life is the great gift of God. Christ is born.
Glorify Him.